Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I haven't, no.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no.
I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Just a
white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Hello. Budget Live, not so live, from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful Middle Tennessee. Sunny Middle Tennessee. Finally. Been griping about the weather a bunch because every time I go fishing, the wind blows 47 miles an hour all year. It's crazy. But it's finally like 80 degrees and things are happening. Hope y'all doing well out there, you bunch of low lifers. This is the podcast for Monday, May the 2nd. And if you're just tuning into this for the first time, let me hit you with this. Welcome. And if you heard me say low lifer and you're like, what is going on? Why are you offending me? Well, that's what the listeners of this show refer to themselves as. So welcome, low lifers, young and old. New and returning to Low Budget Live. Yeah, it's finally May. It's going to be May. Here we go. Got a good guest today. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about a lot of things, man. Life is crazy good right now. It's moving crazy fast, though. Got Harper, the Triple Threat's daughter, my beautiful stepdaughter, graduating college this week. It's crazy to think that that's even reality. Y'all heard Harper on the show several times. Need her to get her back on here before she flies the coop. But she is she's getting a degree in anesthesiology tech, and she's going to go to work at Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. So very, very proud. So her graduation and pinning ceremony is this week. And then young Charlie, my stepson, 18 years old, hard to believe, but graduates high school. Maybe 2 weeks or 1 week from this coming weekend, I think. I think Harper graduates on a Saturday, and he graduates the next Friday, I believe, is how it shakes out. So lots of things happening around the traveling circus, Low Budget Live headquarters here, Triple Threat. We're losing our mind a little bit. We're getting a little grayer. We're getting a little sadder around here. But we still got them three littles that ain't so little anymore coming up. But huge congrats to those kiddos. They work very hard. And I've watched Harper get up super early, 3 in the morning, drive to Nashville from our house to Vanderbilt for over a year, year and a half now, doing her clinicals. So just proud dad. Just a proud dad. And also, she's been, this video went kind of viral on Facebook of her shooting a shotgun with turkey loaded and knocking her glasses off her face on Facebook. If you haven't seen it, go look at it. But she decided she wanted to go turkey hunting for the first time. And we went opening weekend. She's gone a couple times. But me and Hudson and Ryder, we've been getting after them turkeys. We got to hunt with Brad Knight on Easter weekend. I talked about that a little bit on the show, but buddy Brad came down. But we've been getting after him, man. We got after him this weekend a little bit and got some hemmed up this morning. And I thought we were going to close the deal. We just don't have as many birds as we used to have. Y'all have heard me say that. But been getting after them turks, been getting after them bass a little bit too. So life is good right now in the Duncan household. So appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. I want to thank the sponsors real fast of the show. First and foremost, StarTrine, kicking ethanol in the teeth more than ever. They're trying to push this ethanol in your gas to bring them prices down when they could just, I don't know, maybe not charge us 4 arms and 5 legs for the gas. But ethanol will mess your outboard engine up. It will mess up your weed eater. It will mess up your chainsaw. I've been trying to let it mess up my weed eater. I ain't going to lie. I'm just going full ethanol and no StarTrine in the weed eater because I hate weed eating. Let's just be honest. If I'm just speaking to you lowlifers right now and the triple threat is not listening, she doesn't listen to anything I say or anything I do when it comes to fishing and the fishing world that is my life, she don't care. Okay, let's just be honest. So if you want to ruin your lawnmower, don't use StarTron. But you don't want to ruin your outboard engine. So put you some StarTron in the tank. A little dab will do you. You can get it basically anywhere. Shake it or not. I like to shake it. Kick ethanol in the teeth with StarTron. We appreciate the folks from StarTron. Starbright Cleaning Solutions down there in Florida supporting Low Budget Live and all the travel and circus endeavors. Pro Guide batteries. We got them Pro Guides in that Express X21. I'm running the lithiums. So light you can pick them up like this. And I'm weak. I can pick them up with that pinky. Just like that. I'm running the 31 AGM for my cranking battery and three of those beautiful lithiums. Makes dude, I'm telling you, I try to kill them. I say this every week, but I stand on them jokers. I stand on them. And there's so many lithium companies out there. This is what I know about ProGuide. They've been in the battery business way longer than most of those folks. Not in the lithium battery game until the last year, 2 years. They've been doing prototypes. They released these at ICAST last year. They have been in the marine industry, in the battery business for years and years. They're a very reputable company. Check them out, ProGuideBatteries.com. Use code LBL10 to get you a break on some good old batteries. Baitworks.com, new to the show this year, very near and dear to my heart. I'm a tackle junkie. If you want it, they got it. If they don't got it, they got it coming. And don't hit order if you don't want it to show up at your house. That's the overwhelming theme with Baitworks. They got great prices. If they got it, they're getting it to you very quick. You can use code Duncan-10 at Baitworks to pick you up some of them mag drafts. I made a post this week. Been loving mag draft life lately. Been throwing that bait a couple years now. But, man, this year I have really had some fun with Maggie, Magdalena, as I like to call it. Baitworks.com, Duncan-10. Let them know you're a lowlifer. Appreciate y'all using that code. I see it every single time you do, and it means a lot. And last but not least, hang the banner. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, that X21 Pro. We got the new coming soon. But that X21 Pro down there with that 250 Yamaha show right down here in the shop right now. I love that boat. I talk about it endlessly. It's the official boat of the Traveling Circus, Low Budget Live. I appreciate them partnering with me. It is my favorite bass boat that I've ever owned. As far as flexibility, what I can do at it is versatile. I can take it in big water. I can take it in skinny water. I love it. Storage is crazy. The sea deck is amazing. If you want to find out for yourself, go try to find one right now to take a test ride. I see some of y'all message me. Look, times are tough right now, man. You see it on car lots. You see it with boat dealerships. These supply chain shortages are really slowing things down right now, and the orders are through the roof. So good luck. If you can find an X21, go get out there. Of course, new model coming very soon. Ding. Hang on. Do I have? Hey, new model's coming very soon. We're going to be doing walkthrough videos on that. Really, the 2023 bad boy that I'm fixing to get. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, building excitement since 1966. All right. I got to say a big old fat congrats to my dude, Jeff Reynolds, that old oaky son of a gun, winning the Toyota Series at Grand Lake, because of course he did. And he did it sight fishing. Sight fishing is one of my favorite things in the world. Y'all know that. Y'all know I love me some sight fishing. But Jeff Reynolds, old friend, used to fish the Elite Series. I met Jeff and his lovely wife, Amanda, years and years ago. Just good damn people, man. That's all you can say about Jeff Reynolds. He is a good person, great fisherman, great outdoorsman, great hunter, and great cameraman as well down there for Carrico. But he closed her out there, got him a big Toyota win on Grant. So I wanted to say congrats to him on that. Lee Livesey, the Bassmaster Central Open. Ridiculous, man. Everybody, it was tough. That place is a mud hole. Ross Barnett is a freaking mud hole. 200 and whatever boats is too many to have in a major tournament there. It is what it is. But comes out swinging the first day, 25 pounds, and still doesn't have the lead, but is able to back it up days two and three. Now he's going to the Classic Guaranteed. Not that he needs any help because he catches them basically everywhere he goes anymore. But got mad at him in Central Open. So congrats to Lee on that. one of the best dudes in the sport, absolutely just upping his game all the time right now. I want to touch on that for a second. Y'all know I'm a Opens fan. I love the Opens. I do. They're a gauntlet, though, and it should be that way to qualify. I get that, but the 200-plus boats on a fishery like Barnett, it is an issue. And look, the guy's walking away with checks. They're not complaining about that, but it does take its toll. They go to some fantastic fisheries, and you see that pressure, that no off limits, that it does impact the fisheries. And I'm not saying it should be easy. It shouldn't be. No pro tournaments are easy. No big tournaments are easy. The competition is very, very evenly matched these days. Everybody, I'm like, the game has been just, the bar gets raised more and more and more, especially a lot of these young anglers. You just see it more and more and more. But I will say, the no unlimited practice thing, and I asked Hank Weldon this on the show, it's an issue. These lakes, man, I see on Instagram some of these guys go 10, 12 days, and then they can get information. And they can use that to their advantage, and that's fine. But on the Elite Series, you can't get information. So I argue getting information on a trail that qualifies you for a trail where you cannot get information is not okay. And you see that, unfortunately, in those Opens. And you still got to catch them. There have been guys that are super, super connected in the fishing world that have all the help in the world that haven't made it to the elites. So I get it. There's a lot of factors there. I think there'll be some changes next year in the Opens. I'm hearing rumblings, rumors, some things that could happen. We'll see. It'll be interesting. I would like to see that they take whoever goes to the elites, fishes all of them. I just think that's fair. It's a huge expense. It's a huge undertaking. But if you're going to compete at that next level, I think you got to be able to compete in all nine. I mean, it's just, you're going to have to catch them. And man, this schedule, looking at that Opens AOY, John Hookup, Soakup leading it right now. It's a mess, man. It's a topsy-turvy mess. You go down to Florida, you go to Cherokee, you go to the James River. Now you got Ross Barnett. I mean, the schedule is diverse, and the guy that wins that AOY every year earns it. But this year, more than ever, I feel like crazy conditions have been thrown their way so many times. That race, it's only four tournaments deep out of nine, but it will be interesting. I think they got a long pause till July now. But those Opens, I say it's bass fishing purgatory. Payout's not great, and the expense is monumental, just like every other time. I mean, fishing is expensive, but it's risk it for the biscuit to get to the elites in those Opens. And look, y'all know, no shade whatsoever. I've said this multiple times. I love fishing the Opens. I love the way they're ran. I love the people. I think they run an absolute solid freaking event. And look, if everybody's got a problem with how the rules are or how big the fields are or the payout, then stop fishing. And every one of the divisions has countless people on the waiting list. So I don't think the public perception is that they have any kind of issue there. So obviously it's just a thought, you know. And I think there are just, and Hank alluded to it on the podcast, go back and listen to Bassmaster Open Tournament Director Hank Weldon on the show back January, I guess, when we had Hank on. And he said the schedule next year is going to line up a little differently with Bass Pro Shops not being the title sponsor. They don't have to schedule around Bass Pro Shops for weigh-ins next season, that 2023 year. He said, look for some different lakes, look for some different things. I hope so, because they do go to a lot of the same fisheries over and over and over. And listen, man, no disrespect to Ross Barnett, that's a shithole. Like, it just is, man. It just, I don't know what that's about. It's garbage, okay? Ross Barnett is garbage. Garbage. The Red River is a hole as well. It is. Sam Rayburn in the fall will be every lake in the fall. It'll be kind of tough. But listen to me. The Red River is a hole. And you're going to put 237 mother on that hole. It's like, I'm telling you, man. That Central schedule, I was like, no touchy, back. It was like this when I saw that. Yeah, I'm out on that. A Central schedule, son. You're going to earn your keep in that one. Of course, Lee Livesey's not complaining. He haven't had the Simba, the baby Simba picture of his newborn on stage. Epic picture. But I don't know. I think that Central schedule, man, whoever makes the elites out of that division, just go ahead and the top three in that, they should just let them go to the Classic. They should give them $100,000 just for fishing those. When I saw that schedule, man, I'm not a fair weather fan. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, yeah, I'm just going to slide over here to these Southerns, even though I've got my teeth kicked in at the first two. I ain't going to Barnett and Red River back to back. No, sir. I do not want the Express beat in freaking half by Stumps, because I've seen me do it. Rebar, whatever. Whew. I fish them for a good time. Ain't a good time about that. Sorry, if you live in Shreveport, I apologize. If you like the Red River, man, growing up, that's a fishery that's changed so much. Because I can remember, like, the Federation with Ike and Ellie down there and some of those early, like the Classic, the Skeet one. Some, dude, those were epic tournaments. But that place is a hole these days. I'm sorry. Bossier City may want to sponsor the podcast. I'll be like, get your money out of here. I'm having too much fun with you people right now. All right, that leads me to our guest today is a very intriguing young man, I'll put it that way. He is kicking butt and taking names in the Bassmaster Elite Series this year in his rookie season. He comes highly suggested by lots of folks I know to get him on. He's from Wisconsin, and this guy's story is really unique, and we're going to get into it just from his fishing background and things, but he's blowing out right now with five events to go, so four down the pipe. He is absolutely crushing it in the Elite Series Rookie of the Year race. We're going to get him on the phone right now. Jay, secure it as soon as my phone works. I'm trying to FaceTime him. I'm going to stop and call him regular. I mean, dialed up. Those sound effects got me shook, y'all. I mean, shook.
Hello.
Jay, how are you, dude?
How's it going?
I tried to FaceTime audio. It's a hot mess here all the time. I don't know if you watch the show, listen to the show, but listen. I've got a new board with all kind of sound effects. I got this air horn. I'm having too much fun, and I was talking about how the Red River is a hole before I got on a tear about the Central Open schedule right before I called you. Yeah. So everybody at Bass will be tickled to hear my rant about the Central Opens, because they are garbage this year.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, nobody wants to fish 230 boats on Ross Barnett, okay? That's nobody's idea of a good time. Even Lee Livesey, who won it, would have rather been somewhere else, all right? Let's be honest. Well, dude, I appreciate you joining me, man.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to have you on, really wanted to have you on before the season. And the way I kind of pick who I talk to, just, you know, Pat Remick and I with Straycast talked about this. It just kind of pops up, right? Like, I'm random about stuff, but I keep up with everything.
Right, yeah.
And you were a guy that I've been spending a lot of time up in Wisconsin with MPFL. Our studios are up there in Appleton. And your name comes up all the time up there with some friends of mine. It does, man. And then when you made the Elite, and then – now, after you've caught fire in the elites and you're leading this Rookie of the Year, so man, I wanted to get you on, pick your brain. Some things that I didn't realize, dude, you've not been really chasing this. I mean, you're a young man, obviously,
yeah.
But you've not been chasing trying to qualify for the Elite Series for very long, right? I mean, 2019, you started on the co-angler side.
Yeah, that was it. 2019, started on the co-angler side, and then I did it for 2 years. So I fished a co-angler 19-20, and then 21, I was like, all right, it's time to try it as a boner, and then qualified in my first year, and that was not my goal at all. I mean, it was my goal, but at the same time, it was like, if it happened, you know, if it were to happen, it happens. I don't even know what I would do at the time if it were to happen.
Yeah. Talk about that. So I've so many young friends that are trying to make it, guys like Trey Swindle, yeah. Sam George, and there's countless, right? I think there are 90 people fishing all three divisions this year.
Right.
In that moment, you're excited, but there's also a little bit like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
Because of the cost, right?
Right. Yeah. It all comes down to that. And I mean, at the time before I even qualified, it was like, I didn't know where I was going to get the funding, how I was going to get the funding, and if I was even, to be honest with you, I don't know if there was ever a question if I was going to fish the elites, because it's something that I wanted to do, you know, mm-hmm. my entire life, even though I'm not that old. But at the time, it was still like, am I still too young? Like, I still have a lot to learn. And that whole entry fee deal kind of like kicks you back a little bit. Like, yeah, it's great and all until you see that. But then you're like, at the same time, you know, you could probably get a hold of enough people and at least try and make it through the first year. And you never know what's going to happen in the first year. I mean, you could kill it, or, I mean, you could do bad. You never know. I mean, and stuff can start happening. And I know decently well in the industry. I kind of know how the industry works just mm-hmm. because I've seen my dad go through it.
Right, right.
He fishes the walleye side. So I at least had that somewhat of a knowledge of how the industry works and this and that. And yeah, I decided to jump in, and so far so good, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think for me, man, you got off to this fast start, and then they cover you on live at Chickamauga, and you had a rough mm-hmm. first day uh-huh. and then you made a comeback. And to me, I was like, you know, man, that shows your true colors. That shows, hey, he's able to shake off that bad day and come back on day two, catch a good bag, and get right back in it, man. And dude, to me, the schedule, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I know you fish a lot of shallow water river type stuff up, you know, mm-hmm. I saw you post about Butamort the other day. I cross that yep. that pond all the time when I'm up there.
Yep.
But you fish a lot of shallow water stuff. But I mean, is that northern kind of swing? I know I'm throwing North Dakota in there because it's going to be a smally deal. I mean, are you?
Yeah.
Does that favor you going up that way?
Yeah, that's what I've been waiting for the whole year. Okay. I kept telling myself, well, so I got through these first four, and then I was like, well, darn, that wasn't so bad. And then I'm looking at these next two, Fork and Pickwick. I'm looking at them going, you know, they're going to be. The fish are going to be deeper, more summertime, not necessarily summertime, but you know, they're going to be closer to where they'd be in the summertime and more offshore patterns and things. But my thought process going through right now is like, if I can just get through these next couple of tournaments, like these last three tournaments have been like, all I've been thinking about is like Oahe, St. Lawrence, and then the Mississippi River, or it's St. Lawrence, Oahe, and then the river.
Now,
but yeah.
With Oahe being a major player in the walleye world, that's where I hear it. Have you been there with your dad before in the past?
I've never actually been there with my
okay.
dad.
Okay.
He's won some walleye tournaments over there, some pretty big ones actually. And no, I mean, yeah, he's caught in bass, you know, in the past. He's told me stories about catching bass over there and blah, blah, blah. But that place is, I mean, it's massive. There's so
huge.
Many places. And when he goes there, you know, he's just fishing for walleye. So
yeah.
It's not like he's specifically targeting bass. I mean, I'm going to get over there. That's what I'm excited about, that one. I'm going to be able to get over there and pre-practice.
Oh, nice.
Because it's only like 8 hours from the house and I got time. These other ones I haven't really been able to pre-practice for. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most about the last three tournaments.
That's what I was going to ask. Were you able to get to Florida? Do you have a lot of Florida experience before this year, since you just started
yeah.
this, other than just your co-angler and first year on the opens?
Yeah, no, I don't have hardly. I mean, I have two trips to Florida to my name. I have one when I went down, I think it was the first one in 2020. I fished as a co-angler on the Kissimmee chain and it went all right. I mean, I learned some things. Nothing crazy. And then I went back my first year as a boater for, I actually fished the Centrals and the Southerns in 2021. And it was the first tournament of the Southern series on the Harris chain. So that was my second opportunity to fish. So I guess I did have some knowledge of the Harris chain.
A little bit of idea anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just getting around and things like that. I didn't do super hot in the Southern tournament, but yeah, it gave me an idea. And, but as far as the other lakes went, like Santee or Chickamauga, I didn't have any prior knowledge. I didn't go pre-practice or anything. And fortunate enough to stumble onto some decent fish in practice, and they held up for the tournament.
That's awesome, man. That's what it's all about. I think that when you're young, the saying, we see it a lot in bass fish, you don't know what you don't know, right? Like, you just show up at a body of water.
Right.
Even if there are preconceived notions, you just go do your thing. Would you consider yourself, like, looking down that schedule, talking about Hawaii, St. Lawrence? I mean, obviously, you're a Wisconsin guy. You're not necessarily just right on top of lacrosse, but do you have a lot of experience on lacrosse?
I don't. I don't have as much as I would like to have, seeing it on the schedule for this year. I mean, I would have liked to. I fished tournaments over there. I think I fished a handful, maybe five or six. And, you know, like last year I fished, it was actually a Bass Nation regional tournament over there. At the same time of the year, we're going to be there this year. And I had a good finish in that tournament. And I just have a good feel for that body of water at that time of the year, late August, early fall kind of a deal. And it does set up like a lot of our local rivers here at home. Like my home body of water is the Wisconsin River, which it's kind of like a mini Mississippi River is what I would call it. And I just don't get over to the Mississippi as much just because it's about 2 hours from my house. And a lot of the local guys over there seem to keep up with the fish more than I do. I'd have to be over there quite a bit to compete with those guys and them little small derbies that they got.
Yeah, I keep up with some of those guys up there just that I've met over the years. Yeah. They are pretty tuned in most of the time.
They're dialed.
That is one of the most, and I think it's super underrated how intimidating that fishery is. I've only been there one time, and it is especially we were there during an FLW tour event. Mm-hmm. In 18, I believe, and it was flooded, and you want to just throw that much more of a playing field at you, you know, current, and you can just go so far up in the woods, and it was very, very intimidating place. I wasn't a fan, I'll be honest, because I was seeing the old Bassmaster Elite footage of, like, Todd Faircloth catching them and all. That was not the case when we were there in May. I was like, where's that fishery? The current's 3 miles an hour, like, in backwaters and stuff. When we were there, it was like, what is going on? And I like current, you know, I'm a Tennessee River rat, but it's like, what? This is not what I'm used to. It's a lot different. I'm not supposed to be drifting through lily pads at like 3 miles an hour. This is weird, man. Yeah, it freaked me out. And I stayed stuck the entire time. It was just me and the Mississippi did not jive too well. So, man, I think if anybody is listening to this that's fishing against you, and there are several in that Rookie of the Year race that I know tune in, you guys are screwed. When you boys go up north, I'm telling you, this guy's got a hold of it. And I think it's really cool. I got my buddy Joseph Webster's in second. He's fish FLW with Joe. He's a great dude, great fisherman.
Yeah, I talked to him. He's a super nice guy.
Super good dude. And kind of like, you know, made it the hard way into the FLW tour through the Federation and all that. Good guy. He'll have something to say at Pickwick, I feel like. Joseph has a good track record.
Yeah, that's what I was nervous about that. Yeah.
He has a really good track record there. He'll be tough, but man, I think that race going down the stretch with several of you guys is gonna be a lot of fun. With the schedule. Is there anything so a lot of Opens anglers listen to the show? Is there anything that you have been surprised by on the Elite Series? And what I mean by that is there anything that you thought, it's just a bass tournament, it's just another bass tournament, it's just the highest level, but is there anything that you've been completely caught off guard by? Not necessarily from a competition standpoint, but just like something that you weren't ready for.
I wouldn't say it was anything I wasn't ready for. I would have to say the number one thing that I've noticed, though, between fishing at home, you know, fishing local tournaments and then going to the Opens, fishing the Opens, and then getting to this level, the thing I notice the most is like an on the water thing. And it's just like going through the progressions in practice and then like going into that first and second day of the tournament is just how good these guys really are. Like, instead of, say, you thought you found two or three pretty sneaky areas maybe out of the way.
Yeah.
And like you get there on the first day of the tournament and there's two, three, four of our guys like in the zone that you thought you'd have all to yourself. Or even if you're just going, you know, first or second day of practice and you find this little, I don't know, say it's a little turn or something or a little underwater point with some stumps on it. Like, that guy's probably already got it found. Like, it's just crazy to me seeing these guys on just such specific spots that you would think that somebody would never pull up on. It's pretty wild to me how quick these guys figure out some of the best areas in the lake.
It is scary at times. FLW was the same way, man. You'd be like, I always said, and I've said it on here multiple times, but if you're by yourself, you're either blowing the tournament out by 20 pounds or you're in last place at that level because everybody finds everything, man. They really
do. It's wild.
And I think when you come in as a rookie, so many of those guys, because all tournament trails, they like to regurgitate. You know, lakes they go to, they right, like the tourism, you know, the places that, you know, we all like MPFL. We were just at Lake Hartwell. It's the best place in the world to have a bass tournament, man. There's a reason that people go there. It's a great tournament lake. The host city is amazing. And so all these tournament trails tend to go back. So these veteran guys like a Gerald Swindle, hell, he's been to Chickamauga more times than you've like been on the earth. You know what I mean? Over the years, like he's seen it terrible. He's seen it great. He's seen it in the fall. He's seen it in the winter. Uh-huh. Like that's what for me has to be so intimidating. Like coming in, you're like, here you go, rookie. Congratulations, you make it. And you roll up at the St. John's River and they've been there 3 years in a row. You're like, and not to mention 20 other times or whatever. So I that's crazy to me to be able to go in there and do what you've done. It's just impressive, man. It speaks to your ability.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. It's amazing. So let's talk about Pop. How is he processing young Jay being being the Elite Series stud that he's being right now? Because he's over here messing with the TV, messing with walleye. What does he think about it, man? He's got to be proud, right?
Oh, yeah, he's super proud. He's just been laying back. I think he's watching the Bass Tracker more than anything. He just keeps hitting the refresh button on the Bass Tracker all the time. Every time he calls me after the tournament, and he's like, oh, yeah, you must have caught one at 1:30. You must have caught one at 2 o'clock. Well, I'm like, yeah.
He's like, why'd you say you had 11?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's
super fun.
So with his professional walleye experience, was there any sponsor advice or anything he gave you going into this, or at any time in your life growing up watching him, was he like, hey, you know, go be a doctor? Like, you're crazy for wanting to be a professional bass fisherman, son, or walleye fisherman. Get out of this. Was he ever like that, or has he always just pushed you, man, be a fisherman?
No, he's never pushed me to do anything, really. I mean, he just wanted me to do what I like to do. And
that's awesome.
From when I started, it was pretty much like whenever we would go fishing, we'd always go bass fishing. We wouldn't go walleye fishing because he would get home from a walleye derby and he wouldn't want to go walleye fishing again, you know? And at the time, like bass fishing up, maybe not down by you guys, but up by us, like bass fishing was just starting to take off.
Yeah.
Like we just finally started getting like, you know, 30, 40 boat tournaments and things like that, where like you could actually start bass fishing. Like before that, it was all walleyes. Mm-hmm. Like there was a couple like local clubs that ran bass tournaments and maybe like one series that ran a deal. But at the time, obviously I never had a boat or anything like that. But yeah, it was just like when I started bass fishing, I just wanted to learn like every single thing about it. And I went to school for 2 years at a tech school and I had a job locally that let me fish some of these tournaments and then arguably let me fish the opens for those 2 years as a co-angler and then the year as a boater. And then, That's awesome. He never really pushed me for anything.
And speaking of for folks listening, if you don't know this about Jay, what he's failing to mention in those co-owner years, he won two events. Out of the back, just no big deal. He just won two of those events the year he decided to just, you know, why not? We'll just go win a couple. Just go win a couple.
That was my, I think I was still would have stayed as a co-angler if I wouldn't have won those two events. Okay. That was kind of my, that was my
confidence
push.
Confidence boost, yeah.
That was my push. And then also financially, that was a huge help because I was able to then get, I bought an actual 18-foot bass boat to fish the opens with. And then that's what basically pushed me to fish the opens because I had a decent boat and I had someone I could travel with. And yeah, that's why I did it pretty much. Without those two wins, I don't even know if I would have transferred over to the boater side or not.
Unbelievable, man. What would you say is your number one like confidence technique when you roll up somewhere? What's the go to like on a largemouth body of water?
It'd have to be like swimming a jig,
okay,
or like just flipping a Texas rig at shallow cover. Anything visual. I'm a pretty visual. I wouldn't say I'm super visual fisherman, but I like to see what I'm fishing, whether it's on my eyes or on my graph, depending on the situation. But I'm a big flipper and I like to swim a jig when I'm at home fishing for largemouth.
My man, that's man after my own heart. Now are you an Alabama River, Coosa River style swim jig fisherman, or are you one of those Tom Mansour old reelers? Like you just
I'm more of a reeler.
Okay. There's a difference, man. You get above the Mason Dixon line, y'all swim a jig a little different. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And they both work. Yeah, they both have their time and place.
More of reelers. I don't know.
Winders.
There's not as much cover in the water by us like you guys have down there. Like some of that grass is a little bit different.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It cracks me up, man. I drew a guy when I fished co-angler, and he will remain nameless. But we were on Eufaula, and he goes, "Yeah, man, I'm swimming a jig." I was like, "Oh, all right, cool." And I got my white swim jig tied on, dude. I was ready, man. I was fired up, and we roll up on this bank, and he throws his little black and blue jig out there, and he just starts reeling. I said, "What are you doing?" he said, "I'm swimming a jig." I was like, "No, you're not. No, you're not." And then he proceeded to catch about 18 pounds in front of him. I said, "No, you swimming a jig. They like the way you swim it better than they like the way I swim." But it's an impressive technique to me always. And something I've gotten better with over time is swimming one like that for sure. But it is funny. It's different, man, where you guys are at. And I throw Mansour out there because he's a guy that, you know, he'll throw it in 40 feet of water for spotted bass, you know, half the time.
Like, right. Yeah.
He likes to use that. So it is interesting to see the different styles with that one quote, you know, genre of swim jig.
Yeah. One
fishing.
Day, yeah.
Yeah. But there's so many different trailers, so many different, do different things, different lines do different things. So I expected you to say that. I really did. I'm like, you know, Wisconsin River, it's got to be a swim jig. That's where I was leaning. Now, smallies, are you? What's your go to there? Like when you get to the St. Lawrence, without giving too much away, what's your favorite way to catch those?
It has to be. I like to throw a hair jig quite a bit. It has to be between a hair jig. The drop shot's always a standby. I mean, that's the go to anywhere when things are getting tougher. But yeah, drop shot, hair jig, Ned rig. I got a couple other
sneaky
smaller baits that we use up by the Sturgeon Bay and things like that, but just the standard small swim bait, things like that.
Yeah, I like that hair jig bite, man. That's a good
sign. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, no doubt. Well, since I try to do this with everybody, now that I've got you on here and I am spending so much time up there in Wisconsin, I'm going to hold you to, I'm going to invite myself for you to take me, you and your dad, to take me to Sturgeon Bay. So yeah. If you guys would like, I'll have recorded, you know, evidence that this conversation happened and I forced myself into a fishing trip with you boys because I hear a lot of things about you boys on Sturgeon Bay. I do hear.
Speaking about it, he's actually going there next week for the Sturgeon Bay Open, which is the annual tournament every year.
So it's next week.
And I get to go to Lake Fork instead, so I guess it's a good trade off.
It's a good trade, man. You'll enjoy Fork, and your dad will catch some giant smallies. I was just up there last week in Appleton. It was still cold. Like you guys you guys are not getting the weather we are in the South right now.
No,
for sure.
It's not good. Yeah,
yeah.
I was just out today actually on our local river, and water temp was just touching 46.
Whew.
It was still pretty chilly.
Isn't that frustrating to come down south for the first couple months of the year and you sight fish and flip and swim a jig, and then you go home and you're like, really?
Yeah.
It's got to be, right? Sucked.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That was, yeah, that was a little frustrating. But it's nice to get out of the house. And we know that when the water opens up here, that those fish aren't pressured, you know, and you can go out and catch 20, 30 of them in a day. It's kind of fun.
I've always heard that bite is really fun right after ice out, man.
If
I liked being cold, I would come experience it more. But I'm not a cold water angler, dude. I'm out on that. Well, Jay, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your evening to do this. I wish you the best of luck the rest of the year. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media. And, look forward to keeping up with you the rest of the year.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it very much. Everyone can find me on social media. My Instagram is just my name, Jay Shakurit, and then it's also the same on Facebook. And I try and keep up on there the best I can with how I'm doing and the updates and me traveling south and whatnot. So thank you for having me on again, Luke.
Hey, man, you're very welcome. I'm a fan, and I look forward to seeing how the rest of your plays out for you, dude.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Jay Shakurit right there, guys. That's a good young man that is after it in life. And to go 2019, it's 2022. He's fishing the Elite Series. He fished as a co-angler in the Opens in 2019 and won two. This kid has got it. Like, he's got it. And comes from his dad is an incredible, incredible angler. Walleye, just champ angler of the year in the professional walleye trails. And he grew up around this. His dad has hosted a TV show. Very cool fishing family. And to be kind of bipolar, right? They do smally fish. Obviously, his dad's going to fish that Sturgeon Bay Open. But for his son to be chasing this dream on the Elite Series, very cool. Very cool. So I appreciate Jay coming on to the show. I wanted to say real quick, too, my rant about the Opens. It's all in good fun. I know people like to get fired up. There'll be somebody from the Red River like send death threats to my Instagram. I love alligators in the Red River, and we got crawfish. Okay. I've actually never fished the Red River, and I don't ever want to. Because it's hole. Oh, me. Also, as you're listening to this, Jacob Wheeler's winning day one of the BPT. No surprise there. He had a 3-pound average. Caught like 47 bass over 3 pounds. If I fish BPT, I think that I would get really over that. Just, well, he did it again, folks. He did it again. Kid's amazing, man. He's something else. He is something else. Watson had a good day up there. I got to watch some earlier today. Watch the boys sight fishing, man. Jeff Reynolds wins the Toyota Series sight fishing. They're sight fishing up there. It's been a year. Some of these schedules have aligned for guys to look at them and not on LiveScope. So it's been pretty cool. Some spawning stuff going on this year on the pro trails. I like to see it. I like to see it. I love my LiveScope. Y'all know me, Garmin nut, but it's cool to see some of this old school, old school stuff. I think Liv, as he said, he was throwing a Carolina rig at Ross Barnett down there in the mud hole. old school. It's cool to see. All right, I appreciate each and every one of y'all tuning in week after week. Means the world to me. Boats and Pros coming back. We are green lit, as they say, green lit to record 6 episodes. And I think, and y'all comment on this, hit me up, let me know. I really think I'm going to film all of them and then put them out like 6 weeks in a row or every other week or something until they all drop. And the reason being is I love filming those, but I hate the gaps we've had in between. It's very frustrating with my schedule, with Tanner's schedule filming, with the angler schedule that we're trying to get with. It's very hard to do. We film one, and then we wait, you know, forever. It's been since this fall since we've had an episode, and it drives me nuts. So gonna try to post those maybe later in the summer, early this fall, when we start getting those shot. Get them finished. We're fixing to start here in the next couple weeks. Got a great list of anglers on those. Got a new idea for a series I want to try. I'm going to try to shoot a pilot on that really soon. I don't know if it's a pilot when it's YouTube, but it's a pilot to me because it's a new idea. So something I'm kind of proud of, an idea I've came up with, and got some things next year that we're working on, and we're gonna see, gonna throw them out there and see see how they work out. But as always, right here, Low Budget Live every week. Appreciate all of y'all. Make sure to hug your mama. I'm gonna take you out with some Biloxi Blues, like always, and I will see y'all next week.
Back some town to Tupelo. I never could make it last.
Also, go Vols. Baseball's the baseball.
Ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. And I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.